From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, July 23rd, 2013. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
Everyone who attends a geospatial conference probably spends some time on the exhibit hall floor, walking the aisles and looking for stuff to take home. The exhibitors are looking to renew and create relationships to enhance their bottom lines. What can they do to draw in visitors and start a conversation that might lead to future business? We'll share what's worked on us after a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine and the International Map Industry Association invites you to the first .map conference this September 8th to the 10th in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Mapmakers from the print and digital worlds will gather to explore new ways to deliver content, new ways to derive revenue from both print and digital, and new ways to design maps for a new audience in web, mobile, and print. We hope you'll join us for this unique collision of ideas in map publishing. Find more details at mapconference.net.
So I want to start off with something that hit me, and this might only work on me because I'm a journalist, but I was walking the aisles of a show recently, and what I began to realize was that I didn't recognize all the names of the companies. Mm. And this was the ISRI User Conference, so I'm familiar certainly with many of the vendors, not all of them because new ones pop up all the time, but I went and had terrific conversations with vendors just asking about why their name changed in one case and why their name didn't change in another case. Because I was walking through and there was CDM, but it wasn't CDM, which is known very well around here in the Boston-Cambridge area as Camp Dresser and McKee. Now it was CDM Smith. And the first thing I had to ask was, wait, are you the CDM that I know? And they're like, oh, yeah, we just merged with somebody else. And I was like, oh, who did you merge with and why? And we had this great conversation. The other one was a company called Laserfish, which to me sounds really old because we don't talk about fish anymore. And I had this wonderful conversation about why they even looked at changing the name to something more modern, but it turned out their user base knows them as Laserfish, and it wouldn't have been worth making a change.
Right.
So
right.
Sometimes just looking at sort of old things anew might draw somebody in, but I don't know that that would work on somebody who isn't a journalist.
Well, I had a similar experience because I walked by a booth of a company that I had never heard of before, never saw them at the Esri show before, and they were called Tyler Technologies. And the only reason but the name, never heard of. Two, they had a huge booth. It was at least a 20 by 20 presence. And I went, so I just had to go up to the guy and ask him, what do you do? You know? So, yeah, that sometimes gets my attention as well. Well, one of the things that draws me into a booth is toys. I love big toys, Adina. Show me UAVs, touch tables, LiDAR vehicles, 3D printers. I love to see what's going on. We're so software-oriented, right? But when you see some hardware, some big hunk of iron out there, it really draws you in. Even the printing business. I had the opportunity to talk to people at HP and Epson last week at the Esri show, and they're talking to me about piezoelectric heads and why their cartridges are so much bigger. We don't really focus on that very much, but it's fun to see the big toys out there. UAVs are obviously becoming much more popular, a SenseFly, Gatewing, all those folks, and you want to go up and touch those things because you don't often get a chance to. So I think big toys are something that you just have to go up into the booth and find out what's going on.
Well, and you're exactly right. In my preview piece about the user conference, I talked about thinking about the show floor as a museum.
You're right.
And you basically just proved my point, which is, yeah, you go to the museum to see stuff you don't see every day, like the Tyrannosaurus Rex or the UAV.
Right.
Or the stuff that they see, and this is something that I have felt very strongly about for some time, and that's that if you have 3D printed objects, and they don't even have to be related to geospatial, although, you know, little surfaces are nice, you just want to touch them. They have this really interesting surface, and they're kind of like made out of sand, and it's just cool.
Right.
So yeah, anything you can touch and play with. The other one I would add to your list of drones, 3D printers, printers, touch tables, are holograms.
Uh-huh.
So like the stuff from Zebra Imaging, where you can hold up this visual and look at it and see 3D in different ways. Anything that makes it like a museum, and I will even go further to say, anything that makes it like a children's museum, mm-hmm. right? Like a Please Touch museum.
Mm-hmm.
And if people walk by seeing other people touching stuff,
yeah.
they're going to come in because they want to touch the stuff too.
Right.
And I didn't even try to touch one of the UAVs. So that, they probably don't want you to touch those. Did you touch one?
I did not touch them. No.
Yeah, I was sort of, to me they look so fragile and sleek that I was afraid if I touched it would break.
I have to say that when I was in Brazil a couple of weeks ago, there were many more UAVs on the floor than there were at the Esri show last week, obviously relating to our laws that have not yet caught up with the times. So.
I guess the other point I'll make about this is having a pretty map used to be enough to draw somebody in, maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago. But now having a pretty map is – everybody's got to have a pretty map.
Yep.
So that is not enough to draw somebody in.
So my next one is dashboards. I am curious about the layout of analytics dashboards. Give me pie charts, bar charts, maps. Show me word clouds, spaghetti charts, automobile-looking meters. I love to see how the visual representation of data is going, because if we're going to talk about this big data problem, then the visualization aspect of data becomes all that much more important. We have this notion that we love to see data in a spatial, a geospatial context. That's great, but there's so much more and so many more ways that we can begin to visualize information. In recent past, maybe the last 6 months or so, in my tour around exhibit floors, I've seen very good ones from Wiser Company. SAS has had some good ones. Even Terrigo is making great strides in their dashboard environment with Terrigo Vision. So I want to see how the companies are doing in their job of presenting data. It's really important these days. And you just mentioned having the pretty map. It's becoming more difficult to display data because we have so much more available to us.
That's a really good point. And it you would hope that there maybe there's a map on the dashboard, or maybe there isn't. Maybe the data is just put together in some other way so that there isn't, in fact, a map. Yeah, those are getting really hot. And the other thing that's important about dashboards is they're sort of beside geospatial. They take advantage of geospatial, and they're certainly a visualization like geospatial is, but they're not exactly GIS.
Right. And like you said, it's okay to have the embedded map. And that's where kind of we were 5 to 7 years ago in dashboards. Is, oh, you had to have the map. Now it's beginning to be you have to have more analytics associated with that map. And the BI people are finally catching on to that.
The last suggestion that I'll make to folks who are putting together these displays in on exhibit halls, floors, is have something that I can do. I mean, we talked about touching things. So that's something I can do, but I'm going to sort of broaden that out. I've been to shows where they were actually inviting people to use a laser scanner and scan the corner of a room or something. I've been to shows where they invited you to digitize a parcel with their software. At the user conference, you could even kick some goals at one of the booths with a soccer ball. Any of those kinds of things where you can get your hands on something serious that maybe you've never done before, like use a laser scanner, or something that's more recreational, but at least gets you moving. You certainly have to come into the booth if you want to shoot the soccer ball into the net, and that gives you that opportunity to at least start talking about soccer, and then maybe start talking about business.
Right. It's all about client engagement, and I think that's a really good point that you made, that you want to engage the client who's stopping by the booth and give them something other than to point at a set of PowerPoint slides. Just not that engaging if that's what you're doing at your booth.
And in these times, with all of the touch screens and ways that you can have somebody interact with your software or your solution or your hardware, take full advantage of that. And again, Think about children's museums, right? The children want to do stuff. Well, we're just grown-up children, and we want to do stuff too. And those are the things that we're going to remember. So, for example, at one of our LIs, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe, it was the first Surface I had ever seen, the Microsoft Surface.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I remember playing with it, and it had water, and you touched it, and it made like there was something dropped into the water, and it made ripples. Okay. The fact that I still remember that today, why? Because I did it. I went in there and I made that happen.
Right.
So,
right.
Again, and if you can give them that memorable thing, like I remember how easy it was to digitize a parcel in this company's software, they're going to take that home with them.
Right. Right. That's a good lead into my final example, which was another thing we did at LI kind of in that time frame, 5, 6 years ago, which is we did a thing where we gave all of the attendees an RFID tag, and they were being monitored as they went about the room. And the whole idea was we were trying to set up kind of a birds of a feather arrangement where we ask them certain questions, and you could see visually on the screens that we were displaying where all of the people with like interests were located. And they may not have been at your table, but they were somebody else. And the idea was to kind of put everybody at the same table, or at least you could see where that interest group was residing. My example here is show me something live, show me something real time. We discussed this on last week's podcast about real time data. I particularly enjoyed the indoor location tracking demo that was also last week at the Esri show from GISI. They were doing a demonstration where they're asking people to opt in to their app, and if they gave access to their location, they could be tracked. And they were showing this on the display. So where were people who had signed up for the app but weren't being necessarily monitored in real time, but who were congregating anonymously in one particular area? And, of course, the objective was, can you see booth traffic, and could you use that to sell booth space for next year's show? I love the fact that they're we're getting to the point where being able to visualize the real time data. We're talking about it enough, so let's go and show it. And I thought that was a great great demo.
Yeah, and I guess the other example, and they do this pretty much every year at ESRI and some of the other events as well, is when you get to go into one of the Navtech or TomTom vehicles and see how they capture data.
Right.
Right. They don't typically let you do the capturing, and they've probably already captured that anyway, but at least you get to see how it works, and that's just fascinating. Again, it's like a museum, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, those are some of the things that really draw us into booths. We'd really like to hear from our listeners about what is it that got you to go into a booth and talk to somebody or talk to a company that maybe you hadn't even heard of. What were those successful kinds of things? We'd be curious to see those in the comments. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
And from us here at Directions Magazine, we want to encourage you to attend our first .map conference in Cambridge, Massachusetts, September 8th to the 9th. This is going to be about the business of maps, from print to digital, from design to data. We hope you'll join us. More information can be found at .mapconference.net.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted at Directions Magazine, or you can send us a tweet at Directions Mag. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.